dies. I want to go to heaven. How about you? Because heaven is the place I want to be. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us we're already citizens of heaven. Those of us who have obeyed the gospel and have come and are continuing to be faithful to God's word. So we want to be able to know for sure where we're on our way to. And today is a beautiful start of a beautiful week, coming to worship God and to praise Him. And I feel honored that I'm able to come not only to worship, but be able to present God's word. One of the things that I take very seriously is preaching God's word, because I'm trying to communicate something that God wants communicated to us to help us to grow, to help us to remain steadfast and unmovable in His word, so that we might be able to know for sure that we are on our way to that glorious place which God has prepared for us. You know, during this time that we have, and we have a lot of stuff going on in the world, and it seems like sometimes it's getting better, and then we turn around and we find out things just seem to be getting worse. And one of the things that we need to remember to do is always to pray. Always to pray. Because no matter what goes on, God is still hearing us. God is still listening. And in due time, He will take care of the problem. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 12 and verse, or I should say Romans chapter 12 and verse number 16. The Apostle Paul is telling us how we are to rejoice in hope. Verse number 12, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, and he says to continue steadfastly in prayer. Our communication to God is important, and God wants to hear from us. And we need to continue in prayer so that we are able to make our supplication known. And not only prayers of supplication, but we also want to pray for prayers of intercession. That is, praying for ourselves and praying for others. Because this world needs a lot of prayer. And if anybody's going to get that voice through or those requests through, it's going to be the children of God, the saints of God, the church of Christ. So let's stay steadfastly in prayer, hoping that those who around us can understand that God is still in control, and that when God decides to make everything all right, it's going to be in His time. You got your Bibles this morning? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I know this is a familiar text to everybody. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 13. And because my eyes are starting to fade, oh, thank you. I was getting ready to walk over there and do exactly what he's getting ready to do. See, Rob knows when we get to these older ages, we're going to need a little bit more assistance. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 13. Very familiar text to many Bible students. The Bible says here, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Today we're going to talk on the subject, can one preach Christ and ignore the church? Can one preach Christ and ignore the church? Let's take a look at the text once again. Jesus had came to a point where he had known that there was many different opinions about who he was amongst the people. And it does not matter what people say who he is. What matters is who he is. And it comes to a point where he asks his disciples the question. Because obviously they had heard the different opinions about who Jesus was. So he asked them, and they gave him the different opinions of people, Jeremiah, Elijah. But then he pinpoints and asks them particularly, you who have been with me and have been traveling with me, you have seen the miracles, you have seen the things that I have done, who do you say that I am? Good question for us today. Who do we say Jesus is, knowing the facts that we have today? Is he just some prophet, as some religious groups try to say? Is he just a mere man who was just someone who had come and had done some wonderful things? Or is he who he says he is and has proven who he is? That is, that he is the Son of God. And of course, this is what Simon would say to him when the question was asked. Who do you say I am? Simon would say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus makes this statement. First he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. And then he says, upon this rock I will build my church. And most Bible students, we know that what Jesus was saying, that it wasn't upon Peter that he was going to build his church, but it was upon the true statement that Peter made, that he is the Son of the living God, that the church would be established on. Because he is the Son of the living God, therefore he has all authority and all power that was given unto him. So therefore, he had the right from God to build the church, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ. And then he goes on to speak these wonderful words. He says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you will bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you will loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This church that Jesus built was wonderful. It was glorious. It's divine. And it was built by God. That's why we know that we can trust and be members of this wonderful church. There's a scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 127 and 1, which it says that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Now, there are many different opinions about the church today. And there are so many unfortunate misunderstandings by many who proclaim that they love Christ. They want Christ as their Savior, but they refer not to accept the church that he established. In other words, they have this idea they can have Christ without the church. Now, I'll admit that there are many reasons why there are many people who have turned away from what they call the church establishment. And what I really mean by that is that there are some people who look at the church organization and the way that some of these churches conduct themselves, and they look at it and they think that it's more of a business than the church of our Lord. And if we really look at it, we can see that that's what's going on. A lot of church establishments, a lot of church denominations are more about what they can get from the congregation, money-wise, rather than serving and doing what the Lord has set up the church to do. So a lot of people are looking at this, and they're saying in many cases, it turns them away from what they call organized religion. Now, there are two factors to that statement, organized religion. First, there are some who believe that there should be no organization to religious practice. It should just be what they call a free spirit worship. In other words, just do what you want to do, whatever you feel is right, just do it. There should be no organization because God does not care how you worship him as long as you worship him. So those are some people who believe, and when they talk about organized religion. And then there are others who don't like any rules. They say the church has too many rules, can't do this, do this, do this. So therefore they feel like, well, I just want Christ, but I don't want that church. Because the church just has too many rules. I want to do things the way I want to do them. I want to worship God the way that I want to worship God, not by what some ecclesiastical board of men or what someone claims that we should be doing in worshiping God. Well, this and many false and misleading teachings have led many away from the true meaning of the church and its relationship to Christ and her mission. I hate to tell you this, those who believe in that, but the church is an organized, functional body that is glorious and it is divine. And her mission is still on earth to spread the word of God. Just as Jesus did when he came to seek and save the lost, the church is to do the same thing. We are here for a purpose. And our purpose is to fulfill the purpose of what Christ came to do. Seek and save the lost. And all those who will freely come and are obedient to God's word will be added to God's church, according to Acts 2 and verse number 47. And that church that you are added to is the church that we read about in the Bible, and that is the church of Christ. Not by name only, but by the doctrine we teach and by the doctrine we live by. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you turn your Bibles over to there real quick, Paul gives us a beautiful analogy using the human body to emphasize about the church. He begins to talk about the foot. He begins to talk about the eye. He begins to talk about all those parts of the body who are instrumental in the one body and of the church. In verse number 12, the Bible says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, I want you to do something with me here. Now, we look at the text and we say that the body, it says that for the body is one. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it tells us that the body is the church. So now, if we look at this text and we can substitute the word body for church, let's see how it reads. It says, "For as the church is one." That's the first thing right there. There is but one church. And it says that, and has many members. But all members of that one, say it with me, church, right? Being many are one church. So also is Christ. Now look what else he says here. For in verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one what? One church. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And then in verse number 14, he says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Rhetorical question there, right? And then he goes on to say, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Another rhetorical question. And then he says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. That's organization right there. The church is an organized, functional institution, divine and glorious, which God set in place for every person that comes in to be a functional part of the body. Whether you're the foot, the eye, the ear, we are all functional and useful and to be used in the church. Because we are one together. We move together. And because we have one head, which is Christ, we think alike. That's how the church is organized, and the church is the function. And reading this lets me know that everybody has to play their part. We can't, because we're not teachers, we're not preachers, we're not elders, say that I have no part in functioning in the church. You have to find your part and know that you are just as important as anyone else in the body of Christ. That's why we come to worship, so that we might be able to hear God's word being preached and God's words being taught, so that we might be able to grow spiritually. We go home, we study the word of God, so they might be able to grow spiritually. So when things need to get done in the body of Christ, your local congregation, then we know where our function is and how we are to function in the church. If I'm a foot, then I have to know where to take the rest of the body. If I'm a hand, I need to know how to pick up and do what the things that need to be done in the body. Because the church is an organized, functional establishment here to do primarily one thing: seek and save the lost. So, seeing that the church is the body of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23. Seeing that it is also the kingdom of God, according to Colossians chapter 1 and 13, when he said that we are delivered out of the power of darkness and we are transformed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And the Bible teaches us that we are the bride of Christ, Revelations 21 and 9. Let's ask the question again. How can one preach Christ and ignore his church? You see, we need to emphasize, preachers and teachers, and even those who are going out and teaching others, we need to emphasize everything Jesus taught and what the Bible teaches about the church. So let's look at some scriptures this morning to help us get an understanding about how important the church is. First, in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And beginning at verse number 2. Look at what the Bible says here. It says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house, keep that word in mind, shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Verse 3 says, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now this is Isaiah speaking about the house of God and how glorious this house is going to be. And it's not only a house for just certain people, but it's a house for all people who will come and obey his will. Now, this was prophesied about the house coming. Now, did it come? Well, let's see. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, look at what the Bible says here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse number 15. The Apostle Paul writing in his letter to Timothy, and he says to him in verse 15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in what? The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So now we have it prophesied, and we have it confirmed. The church is the house of God, which God has established for his children. And then in Daniel chapter 2 in verse 44, when Daniel came to King Nebuchadnezzar, after he had this dream and Daniel had to interpret it for him, letting him know that the dream of four kingdoms that would come, but then God will establish his kingdom. When he says that during the time of these kings, that was the fourth kingdom, he said God will establish his kingdom, which will never be what? Destroyed. Now, did he establish that kingdom? Turn your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28. And let's see if we can find some confirmation of this. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28, the Bible says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now notice that the text says that we are receiving a kingdom. I wanted to look that word up, and the Greek word perelabano deals with the idea of receiving something from another. So therefore, God has given to us something that we are receiving, and the word receiving here is an ongoing statement that every time one comes into the kingdom of God, we receive the benefits and the blessings of the kingdom of God, which is his church. So therefore, we have the kingdom being prophesied and the kingdom being confirmed. So, since God took the time to let us know ahead of time that it's coming, and then God lets us know that it has come, how can one say, I can preach Christ and ignore the church? And then the second thing is, if you can preach Christ and ignore the church, you can forget about or ignore what Christ's purpose for the church is to be. I mentioned this earlier, but in Luke 19 and 10 is where the scripture is. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And the church is to carry on that mission to seek and save the lost. Back in our text, back in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 13 and 19, I want you to emphasize on verse 19. Because remember, Jesus said that he would build it, but he said he was going to do something. He was going to give the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and he was saying to them, to the apostles, so that they might have the way of opening the door so that those who will come or be obedient to God's word can enter into the church. And he says something important there. He tells them that whatever they do on earth will be authorized by heaven because it had already been there. Whatever you bind on earth was already bound in heaven. He said whatever you loose on earth had already been loosed in heaven. So the authority didn't come from man, but it came from God. But God gave the keys to them to open the door in order for all of us to come in. Because the church has a mission. And that is that we are to seek and save the lost. And I'm so glad that the Bible says in Acts 2:47 that those who are being saved, God added to the church. Because if it was left up to man, some of us wouldn't be in the church. But God knows our heart. God knows when we obey and we repent of our sins that he will come and he will cleanse us of our sins and add us to that glorious and divine church. And it is our only way to heaven. So if you think that you can ignore the church but just have Christ, then you can ignore the purpose that Christ put the church here in the first place. And then if you think that you can just have Christ and ignore the church, that's just like misunderstanding all the wonderful parables that Jesus talked about the church. In Matthew chapter 13 and 44, he talks about the idea that church is a hidden treasure in a field. And when man saw it, he went and sold everything so that he can buy the field. That's how precious the church is. We should be able to want to give up everything that will hold us back for being a part of this wonderful and glorious church. And then in verse 45 and 46, he talks about the church as being a beautiful pearl, something to be seeked out. And then once found, it says that the man sold everything that he had in order to possess it. That's how precious the church of our Lord should be to us. But then there are some warnings. Because in verse 47 and 50 there of Matthew chapter 13, he warns us that although many are called, there are few that will be chosen. Because as the dragnet went out and it gathered in everybody to come and be part of this wonderful and glorious church, the Bible says that there is going to be a day that judgment will come and the pretenders will be exposed. This is why I know that Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, he says that judgment will start at the house of God. The parable goes on to say how the angels will separate the good from the bad or the wicked from the just, and he will cast the bad in the furnace of fire where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, don't be fooled. God knows who the pretenders are. Because I know you've heard this line before, and it's so true. Not everybody in the Church of Christ is going to heaven. And it's not because you're not in the right place with the right doctrine. You just don't have the right heart. And we need to get it right. But I like what verse 48 says. He says he would gather the good into a vessel. Not vessels, but in a vessel. And you know what the church is? The church is our vessel to heaven. That's why we cannot just preach Christ and ignore the church. And then if we just preach Christ and ignore the church, we ignore the new birth. In John chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says that the only way into the kingdom, that is the church, is to be born again of the water and spirit. Now, if the Bible says that in order to get into the kingdom, we must be baptized, we must have the truth of God's word, then how can we sit around and say the church isn't important? Because the only way in to the kingdom is through this new birth process. So if we can ignore the church and just say we have Christ, then we can ignore the new birth, which is essential to the saving of our souls. And then if we can ignore the church and just preach Christ, then we ignore what Christ died for. We ignore why he shed his blood for us. In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "Watch over yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." Jesus died for us. But when he died, he bought the church with his own blood. And you think that you can have Christ without his church? And also, we have the apostolic preaching of the church, in which the apostles went about teaching and bringing about the understanding of where the saved are at. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 22 and 25, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body." We said that before, right? Body, church, interchangeably used. And then he says, "Of which he is the Savior." And you want to ignore the church? And Christ is the Savior of the church? And then it goes on to say, "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." But in 25, listen up, husbands. It says, "Husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And then in Acts chapter 20 and 25, the Bible says, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." This is the Apostle Paul talking as he was visiting the church of Ephesus for the last time and speaking to the elders and to the church, knowing that he will never be there again because he will be on his way to Rome to eventually be martyred for the sake of Christ. But he says, "And now that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching," what? "The kingdom will ever see me again." He says, "Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole counsel of God." And that's what we need to understand. That we can preach Christ, but we need to preach the whole counsel of God. Because Paul is trying to say, the Holy Spirit, "I've given you everything that the Holy Spirit has given to me to teach to you." And that's what we need to do. Yeah, I know there's problems with church organizations and people have a turn off, but it's up to us to make people understand what the real purpose of the church is. Let me just throw some personal notes out here real quick. I thank God that sometimes I'm so blessed to be around certain people who do not have this understanding and have understanding of other things about the church. And when they speak to me and I talk to them, and I had one guy say exactly to me, he said, "You don't talk like these other preachers." And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just showing you what the Bible says. Which lets me know that some of these denominational preachers, they don't know what the Bible says. Because they're so caught up in what their church organization says, their Baptist manual, their Methodist discipline, and this is what they know to teach. So when people from the outside look at the church and say, that's just a money-making organization, and when I break down to them the fact that the church is not about making money, the church is not about just secular rules. The church is divine. The church is glorious. And when you are a member of the Church of Christ, there are certain things that you understand about the Bible that teaches what the church mission is. And that is to seek and save the lost. Some churches are so political, they've forgotten who their allegiance is to. Our allegiance is to God, first and foremost. And that's why we need to be careful to put forth God's mission and not man's mission. People want to blame the church because community problems and things are going on. The church should be out here feeding people and doing all this type of stuff. That's all fine and good. As church members, we can individually go out there and do that. But the church mission is to save souls. And we need to keep that in mind. Because as soon as we start getting away from what the mission of church is, we start getting into all kinds of secular things that have nothing to do with getting people to heaven. I want to feed people. I don't want to see people hungry. That's why I will take my own personal money and donate. But when it comes to the church, seek and save the lost. It's not a true statement that we got to feed them first before we can teach them. People try to use the example of Jesus. Jesus was about teaching the word. And that's why some people left him. Because as soon as the food stopped flowing, they went and left him. Because it's not about that. It's about seeking and saving the lost. And the only way we're going to do that is give them the word of God and show them the way. So Paul here, he talks about that he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus with boldness without hindrance. So, if you can preach Christ and ignore the church, then you are certainly teaching against what the apostles themselves taught about the kingdom of God and the church. So now, if Christ is important to you, then his church, which he established, should be as well. Because to be in Christ is to be in his church. To be in Christ is to be in his body. To be in Christ is to be a citizen of heaven. To be in Christ is to be a subject of God's kingdom. And those who are in the kingdom are on their way to heaven, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's because, understand this, Christ is our salvation, but the church is our ark of salvation. Just like Noah had to be in the ark in order to be saved from the flood waters, we need to be in the church in order to be saved. And if you are not a member of the Lord's church today, I urge you to become one. Because time is getting short. We do not know when things are going to finally come to an end, but we know it's coming. The Bible assures us of that. There will be a judgment where all man will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in their body, whether good or bad. So you need to prepare yourself because the day is coming. I know if we ask people who are spiritually minded, those who say that I'm a spiritual person, they say they love Christ, but do you love his church? Because that's what he died for. And that's where we need to be. So if you need assistance in coming and being a part of the Lord's body, hear the word of God, have faith, believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And come and be immersed in water, that is to be baptized, for the forgiveness of your sins. And the Bible says that God will add you to his church. And if you will live faithful unto death, in the end, God will give you a crown of life. There might be some here who have already done that. And it might be your opportunity to come back because you have not been living the way that God would have you to live. You have an opportunity to come, rededicate your life to the Lord before it's too late. Judgment Day is coming. And as I said, there is no pretenders in the church. You might look good and pretend here with us, but God knows. And it will become a time when you will be removed, placed in the lake of fire, where there will be gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dieth. But we want to make it to heaven, because heaven is the place I want to be, and I pray that's where you want to be too. You ready, Jordan? Got that song ready for us? We got song number 347. 347. Let us stand, and if you need to come, please come as we sing the invitation song.